M Street is a weekly podcast of Mercy Street Reformed Church in Denver, Colorado. To find out more about Mercy Street Reformed Church and the Reformed Church in the United States, visit mercystreetreformed.org. That's mercystreetreformed.org.
Welcome back to M Street. This is Pastor Chris Moulton, and whether this is your first or your 12th download, thank you for listening. Just in case you don't already know, the purpose of these weekly podcasts is to be an encouragement, also to give each one of us a basic understanding of some of the key themes revealed to us in God's Word, the Bible. For a guide, I'm using the order given to us in the 52 Lord's Days and the 129 questions and answers of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is a small book written in Germany back in 1563 and written as a faithful summary of the major themes of Scripture. I may have mentioned this previously, but the word catechism simply means a series of questions and answers used for instruction. And that's really what most teachers and students do all the time. Questions are asked. Those questions are eventually answered, all by way of instructing those who are interested in learning. And again, that's what a catechism is, including the Heidelberg Catechism. Well, so in the past couple of episodes, we've been dealing with the questions and answers that have to do with the mediator and redeemer of sinful mankind being both a true and righteous man, and so like us and yet without sin, as well as true God, since only one who was God could do all that he's done. And if you haven't already listened to the episodes that deal with those subjects, then please do, since they're certainly stressing important topics. But now moving forward, we're going to hear about who that mediator actually is, Jesus Christ, and how it is that we can know that he's the one. And the answer to that is from God's Word. For clarity's sake, I'm going to reverse the order of those two thoughts, beginning first with how it is that God's Word reveals to us that Jesus is the Savior, and then, Lord willing, next time we'll get to the fact that it is, in fact, Jesus Christ alone. Before we get to that, though...
Ah! Oh, no! I think the stove is on fire! Could you imagine hearing your child or grandchild screaming that in fear because it was really happening? And even worse, because they didn't know what to do about it. Between 2011 and 2015, there were almost 360,000 home structure fires in the United States, resulting in over 2,100 deaths. Many of those fires could have been put out instantly if there had been a certified auto fire guard device in place, and so many lives would have been saved. For the rest of 2018, the folks at AFG Fire Pro are selling all AFG fire prevention devices for $75, which is $25 off the regular price. And if you buy 10 or more, you'll get them for $65 each. You can find those deals by ordering from AFGFirePro.com. That's AFGFirePro.com. Don't let a panic scream of fire from your loved ones be spoken without knowing that just as soon as the fire was started, it has everything needed for it to be extinguished. Auto Fire Guard. Why? To save lives.
Well, so the other day I was at a local coffee shop for a while, and just as I was about to leave, I met a man in his mid-30s, I'm guessing, who was wearing a pair of the most interesting pants that I think I've ever seen. They must have weighed close to 25 or 30 pounds, and that's because he had sewn, or maybe even duct-taped, numerous pieces of other fabric over the top of not only the original jeans, which he told me they were at first, but also over other pieces of fabric that he had already sewn on. I would say that there was probably something like 10 to 12 layers of fabric, maybe more, covering the legs of those extraordinary pants. Anyway, my first words to him were, "I have to say, those are some unique pants," to which he responded by saying, "Thank you. I get quite a few comments on these." Well, then that led to some further discussion, not about pants per se, although I did tell him that sometime I would like to get a picture of me and him in his pants. But what we did end up talking about for a while was what he believed in terms of his religious views. I told him that I was a pastor, asked him if he would mind if I asked a few questions, wherein he didn't hesitate to tell me what he believed. He told me that he believed in Jesus, because he was always good and kind. He really believed in him, but that he also believed in Allah and Yahweh, who he didn't like, because they weren't always nice and kind, but were jealous. He also told me that the only sin that can never be forgiven is cannibalism, since evil doesn't get any worse than that, as he explained. There were a few other things regarding what he believed, from a quasi-religious standpoint, I suppose. But what I soon realized was that his theology, or his understanding of God, was as perplexing and as layered as were his pants. It also struck me that he had merely patched this thought on top of that thought, one on top of another, probably for years, but all without any true and sound basis. In other words, it was just a mix of things that he had apparently heard along the way, and inasmuch as he could recall some of those things, that's what formed his religious understanding. Well, so instead of being confused like the pants man, or like a whole multitude of others who merely add one obscure thought upon another until they have a few ideas that seem to make some sort of spiritual or religious-based sense for themselves, what's so much better to believe and to rest our souls upon is the God-inspired, inerrant, infallible, holy scriptures which make up the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, and in particular, what those holy scriptures say when it comes to who God is, who we are as sinners, and who we need to save us or redeem us from that sin. Speaking of which, starting in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, we're already told not only how it is that we as human beings became corrupt or sinful in our nature, but also, even as early as the third chapter, how we're to be saved from that sin nature, along with a strong hint of who our Savior will be. And I will put enmity, in other words, a hateful division, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Those words were spoken to the serpent, which we might say was the devil made manifest, just after the fall of our first parents. And in those words, we have God's promise of a coming Savior, one who would have his heel bruised or injured on the cross, while at the same time, he would therefore crush the head of Satan. It's sometimes called the proto or first evangelium. In other words, the first proclamation of the good news, the glad tidings, to sinners who need those glad tidings from the very God that they've offended with their sin. Well, then in chapter 4 of Genesis, we have the account given to us of the two brothers, Cain and Abel. And if you know that account, then you know that Cain ended up killing his brother in what was the first murder. But before that, and actually leading up to it, Abel offered the sacrifice of a lamb that pleased God, again pointing to the future sacrifice of the Lamb of God on the cross. If we were to continue looking throughout Genesis, we would find that Noah and the things surrounding his building of the ark, as well as God using that craft as a way of escape for him and his family, that too pictures for us the one who would deliver God's elect from their sin. The same could be said when it comes to Abraham, and there's hardly a clearer picture of the sacrifice yet to come than when Abraham was ready and willing to sacrifice his own son Isaac, but just before the knife came down, God provided himself a sacrificial lamb in place of Isaac. But so that's just a few examples, and even then, only from one book, the book of Genesis, that point to Christ. In Exodus, the next book, of course, we have the account of the chosen nation of Israel being led out of their bondage from Egypt by the sovereign hand of God, so as to be led into the land of promise. And throughout that entire account, we have numerous pictures given to us of the way that God would one day bring his chosen ones, the ones that receive from him the gift of saving faith, out of their own bondage to sin, and into the ultimate promised land through and only through the sovereign hand of their Redeemer, even Jesus Christ. Well, due to time, we'll have to skip over many other Old Testament examples and accounts that pointed ahead to the Christ or the Savior of the world who was still to come at that point. but besides those that we read in regard to the patriarchs and the early fathers of the faith, prophet after prophet revealed the same thing, as did the Old Testament tabernacle and temple with its various elements and services, as did all sorts of shadows and types. And in fact, so much of what we read in the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus Christ, that when Jesus did finally come to earth in the fullness of time, he said this, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." In other words, he, the Savior of the world, God incarnate, knew that the Old Testament Scriptures were pointing to him on page after page. Well, then, of course, after the Old Testament, we come to the New Testament, and for anyone who reads those 27 books with even the slightest bit of spiritual understanding, it becomes apparent that Jesus Christ, as he's revealed throughout the entire Bible, is the fulfillment of all that we were told in the previous 39 books, all that they were testifying unto. And so, to quote again from our old friend George Bethune, it is therefore to this gospel, the revelation of God concerning Jesus Christ, the foretellings and prefigurings of the Old Testament with the histories and teachings of the New, that we go to for knowledge of the Mediator. Our faith is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Again, that is where we look. We look to the inerrant, infallible Word of God. I do want you to know that I'm praying for the man with the amazing pants, and that I was able to get his phone number, and he said that he would be glad to talk with me sometime about the things of God. Lord willing, through those talks, he'll be able to grasp the significance and the clarity that comes from resting on the time-tested Word of God, rather than a theology of patchwork confusion that in many ways mimicked his patchwork pants. It is the place that we need to go to know who the Savior of sinful mankind is. It is in the Scriptures that we find the truth of Jesus Christ. And until next time, may the mercy that God bestows on sinners like myself be yours.
This is Pastor Chris Moulton, thanking you for listening to M Street, a production of Mercy Street Reformed Church in Denver, Colorado. If you're interested in finding out when and where we meet, or just more about Mercy Street Reformed Church in general, visit mercystreetreformed.org. That's mercystreetreformed.org.